This morning, I'd like to start with the statement that the Christian life is not to be a life that is one filled of laziness. It's not one that's supposed to be lackadaisical. It's not one that's just supposed to have no energy or enthusiasm. Rather, the Christian life is one that's to be filled with diligence. It's one that is to have a determination, an eagerness, a readiness, a craving, and a desire for certain things. God has called His people to be diligent in many respects and in many areas. In fact, Paul wrote in Colossians, and he said that whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So you need to give everything, 110%, every ounce of effort that you have ought to go into things that you do here in this life. And so again, the Lord has called His people to be diligent. If the Lord would bless me for a little while today, and I hope and pray that He will, I'd like to go through some things that the Lord has called us to be diligent in. To go through some things that we are to be eager and ready and determined to do in our life. Now, speaking practically, there is a practical diligence that is separate from a spiritual diligence. And I believe the Lord wants His people to be practically diligent as well, to have a work ethic, to be one that works hard in this life. If you look over to Proverbs in chapter 10 this morning, notice verse 4. There we find the wise man Solomon says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And so the lesson there is that laziness in life is not going to get you very far. If you are one that's just sleeping away the days and just wasting the nights away, you're not going to get very far in life. You need to have a good work ethic. And I'm sad to say that particularly in America, there are people that are trying to get around this truth of the Lord. And they're trying to become rich. They're trying to make their souls fat by going off the hard work of others, by going on their backs and having handouts and so forth. And I think that goes contrary to the Word of God. I'm not saying that social welfare programs are necessarily a bad idea, but I'm saying it's a bad idea and it's a slap in the face to God when social welfare programs are made a way of life for certain people. And that's just their lifestyle and their habit to try to become rich, not by their own doing and their own work ethic and their own efforts, but by the work of others. I don't believe the Lord is well pleased in that. And so, obviously, here He is saying that He has determined that men would be diligent and thereby making themselves rich. I think that it was interesting. I read one commentator speaking about the entitled group of people, those that think the world owes them a living or something along those lines. He said that the reason they have direct deposit is because if the world actually owed them a living and bundled it up for them, they couldn't bring themselves to actually go and collect it because they're so lazy. But dear friends, there's some truth in that, I think. And I think, again, those types of mentalities are contrary to the Word of the Lord. They say, "We know, God, that You want us to be diligent, to have a work ethic. We know that if we don't provide for our own, that we're worse than an unbeliever. We know that we should be doing everything that we can to provide for ourselves naturally here, but it's just easier to do this over here. It's just easier to let somebody else do the hard work and we'll reap the benefits." And so, again, I think that's contrary to the design that God has for mankind. But that's a practical diligence. That's one that is for our everyday living here and how we tend to natural things. But the Bible also speaks of a spiritual diligence. And there are many things that fall under this diligence, if you will. One of them is also found in the book of Proverbs, and that is guarding our heart, keeping our heart. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 4 this morning, verse 43, we'll see what Solomon says here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 43, or excuse me, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence. We need to guard our hearts, if you will, and be determined, be ready and eager to guard them. Because out of them come the issues of life. You say, Brother Nathan, what does that mean? Out of that comes the issues of life. Why is it important that we guard our hearts? Well, the heart is very responsible, primarily responsible for what happens to us in this life, what events we go through, the steps that we take. The heart is responsible for that. In fact, Solomon says in another place that the heart of a man deviseth his steps. It's the heart that we have our emotions, we have our desires, and it's the heart that directs our steps here in this life. And so that's why I think Solomon is very aptly saying that we need to guard our heart. Again, the heart, when it refers to the Bible, is not just an organ. It's just not that thing that supplies the blood to our body. The heart, as the Bible refers to it, is that seat of emotions, that place where we have our desires and our feelings. And he's saying you need to guard your heart because in that come the issues of life. If you have emotions in your heart that are running rampant with bitterness and anger and so forth, you're going to have to deal with the issues that come from that. If you have a heart that's filled with fulfilling the desires of the flesh, you're going to have to deal with the issues that come with that. So Solomon's saying you need to guard your heart, keep it fixed on heavenly things, because the heart is responsible for the issues of life. Again, he said that the heart deviseth the way of a man. I think another reason it's important to guard our hearts is because the heart is naturally wicked. In fact, Jeremiah said those exact words. He said that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And who can know it? The point there, dear friends, is that the heart, if left on autopilot, will steer you away from the Lord. The heart, if left unchecked, will just lead you down a path of destruction. And so again, Solomon is saying you need to be diligent. You need to be determined and ready and eager to guard your heart so that you would not be taken down that path. Then we see, I think, another reason why Solomon says to guard our heart and to be diligent in it, and that is because Satan loves to attack the hearts of men. That is a place most vulnerable, and that's why Satan attacks there. Satan, when he comes to men, he doesn't attack their foot or their leg or their arms. He goes after their heart. In Mark chapter 4, I believe it is, Christ is giving the parable of the sower and the seed. Y'all remember that parable? And we find there in Mark chapter 4 that when the seed had been sown in the heart, that Satan came immediately and removed that seed that had been sown in the heart. Not only that, but we find in the book of Acts how Peter posed a question to Ananias. He says, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart?" Our hearts, our emotions, our desires, that's a place most vulnerable, and Satan loves to attack us there. And so that's, again, perhaps another reason why Solomon is saying we need to guard our hearts, be diligent in it, that, again, we wouldn't have runaway emotions, but rather we'd keep our emotions set on heavenly things, to think and ponder upon Christ and all the wonderful things that he's done for us. And so we need to be diligent in guarding our heart. We need to be diligent in seeking the Lord. Need to be diligent, determined, ready, eager to seek the Lord. And I'll admit to you, that's something I fail in. I can look back at the day's end many times, and I can see there have been periods of the day, and perhaps even days before, that are just empty periods. They're periods that I could have sought the Lord, I could have gone to Him in prayer, but I look back and they're just empty periods. I was having mindless thoughts. I was listening to hellish music on the radio. I was watching a TV show that's certainly not doing my spiritual welfare any good. But I look back at those times and I think, why didn't I seek the Lord? I need to be more determined to do that. That I would be able to look back at the day, even as a hymn writer. I love that song, Walk with God. I love that song. And she looks back on the day. She first says she loves the quietness of the morning, the peaceful beauty of the day. She says it brings her joy and consolation to bow her head in prayer. And then she looks back and she says, I've had empty moments in my day. No, she looks back and she says, I've walked with God today. I want to experience that. Certainly that's something that she knew a little bit about. I'd rather have that feeling at day's end to say, I've walked with God, I have sought God diligently, than to say, I don't know where the day's gone. I don't know what I've done with my day. I've gone to work, I've listened to country music, I've watched sitcoms, but I haven't sought the Lord today. Dear friends, the Lord would have us and expects us to be diligent in seeking Him. It's not just something that, oh, it's good if you do it. It's something He expects and requires of His people, that they seek Him diligently. We have a grand and a glorious and a wonderful God that stands ready, willing, and able to fill our lives with His presence and to shower blessings down upon us if we seek Him. Isn't that what Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews? He says that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not half-heartedly seek Him, but those that are making it their effort to be determined in seeking after Him. Again, He expects it. We've mentioned several times the verse in Matthew chapter 6, where Christ said to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That would be our priority here in seeking His cause and His kingdom. And while there are second and third and fourth and fifth priorities in life, and thank God for those, number one ought to always be the Lord in His cause and His kingdom. That's a hard pill for many to swallow, to say that He's number one come what may. But again, that's what the Lord expects of His people. And so the Lord would have us to diligently guard our hearts. He would have us to diligently seek His face. And He's promised He's a rewarder in that regard. But then if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 55 this morning, you'll see another thing that the Lord would have us to be diligent in. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 2. Isaiah 55, 2. The Lord's speaking here, and He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Notice these words, hearken diligently unto me. Hearken diligently unto me. We need to be diligent in listening and obeying the Lord, don't we? We need to be hearkening unto the Lord. This is different. I was thinking about when I was a teenager, and, well, even later in years, perhaps, this is different than just listening and just obeying. To like when our parents would have us do something, I can look back and I can think when my father wanted to talk to me sometimes, I begrudgingly might listen to him. I'd do the best I could to imitate somebody that was listening just so he'd go on about his business and I could get back to mine. But I wasn't really listening. I wasn't really determined to hear what he had to say. I wasn't eager. I wasn't sitting there saying, I cannot wait to hear what my father has to say to me. And when he wanted me to do something, again, it was something I just kind of did half-heartedly. I would just put in the least amount of effort that I could in order to get the job done so I could go back and play Nintendo, because that's all I cared about. But dear friends, there's a difference in just listening and obeying, as I tried to do as a child, versus diligently listening and diligently obeying. Do you see the difference? One just puts in the bare minimum. The other one is ready and eager and determined to do all that is asked of him and so much more. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here. He says, hearken diligently unto me. The Lord is still speaking to us today, isn't He? He doesn't speak to us audibly like He did in the pages of Scripture to the Old Testament saints. But dear friends, He does speak to His people through His revealed Word today. And we need to be paying attention to what the Word of God says. In fact, we find in the book of Acts that the Bereans had honorable mention, even more so than those at Thessalonica. It said they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the Word of God with readiness of mind. Remember, diligence means readiness. And they received it diligently or with readiness of mind. Dear friends, that's how we ought to be. We ought to be ready to receive the Word of God. I've said it before, I hope that we have a ready congregation here this morning. I think that we do. I pray that we have a ready congregation, one that is just eager to hear and obey the Word of the Lord. Sometimes it's difficult, I know. I've had Sunday mornings where I've woken up and I said, well, it's cloudy outside and it's cold out and I've got some mysterious pain in the upper third portion of my lower back. And, you know, I'll drag myself to church, but I don't know if I'm going to get much out of it. I'm just going to go, but I don't think it'll be of any use. I've had Sunday mornings like that. I don't know if you've had that, but I haven't been ready on all the occasions. But dear friends, sometimes when that happens, I remind myself I've got a little bit of time to change my thinking. I've got a little bit of time to pray to the Lord, and I've got about a 50-minute drive to church, and I've got about 50 minutes there on that drive I can be praying to the Lord that He would change my mind, and so that when I walk through the doors, I can forget about the pain in my back, I can forget about the weather and what it's doing outside, and walk in and say, I'm ready and willing to hearken diligently unto the Lord. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just a little prayer to ask the Lord, Lord, change my mind. Make my heart and mind ready to hear what you have to say. And so, again, that's why the Bereans were given honorable mention. They received the word with readiness of mind. And you shouldn't be diligent in that regard just on Sundays. Let me say that. You should be diligent every day of the week, every opportunity that you have to be in the Word of God, which should be daily. You should be hearkening diligently unto the Lord. But I know, like I said, sometimes those Sunday mornings roll around and it just seems like a chore sometimes. I don't know if it's ever seemed that way to you all, but let me say, if it has, I haven't noticed it. But let me mention this for preventative maintenance reasons. You all and your presence are an encouragement to me as your minister. That is a huge encouragement to your minister, that you come through the doors ready to hear the Word of God. That you come through the doors not just dragging as though it's just a chore, as though you're just so worn out, but that you're ready. That's a big encouragement to the minister. And I thank God that you all have encouraged me along those lines. There have been times when I've dragged myself through that door and I've seen smiling faces and I've heard the songs of Zion that you all have sung, and that's encouraged me. And I thank God for that and hope that you'll continue to do that in the days ahead. But we need to be diligent in guarding our hearts and seeking the Lord. We need to be diligent in listening to, and obeying the Lord. We need to be diligent in teaching, don't we? We need to be diligent in teaching our families about the Lord, teaching our children about the Lord. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you'll see where the Lord is speaking. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a commandment of the Lord. He says, thou shalt, notice that, thou shalt teach them diligently. Speaking of parents teaching children. It's something that I've become more concerned about lately, and it's something that every parent should strive to do. Even if you say, well, my kids have grown up and they're no longer under my care, you still have an opportunity to encourage them, to tell them about the Lord, and to try to encourage them that they might be diligent and faithful in the service of God. But if you have young kids under your care, then you need to be diligent in teaching them about the Lord, even as spoken there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that you teach them when you're rising up in the morning, when you're lying down at night, that you would be diligent in teaching them as you're traveling along the road and when you're sitting in your house. Dear friends, that's something that is given as a command to parents. The Lord, who has blessed us with children, as much work as they are, they're still a blessing. The one that's blessed us with children expects us to teach those children about the Lord. My parents, I don't boast in them, but I'm thankful for them. And I think they gave me a great example. Some of the greatest memories that I have of my childhood and the most vivid memories Or when my parents would gather us together as children before bed and we'd have a word of prayer, my dad would open the scriptures and he'd read to us some, and then he would expect us children to memorize a small portion of scripture, and we tried to do that on a nightly basis. On the way home from church, again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you're traveling along the way, on the way home from church, dad would usually try to ask us questions about the sermon to see what we had learned that day. Again, I don't hold my parents out as somebody on a pillar, but I think that is an example that we can work from, and I think it's according to the pages of Scripture that we teach our children. That's something that America would be better off if they did a little bit more of, I think. That's something that America would flourish and thrive from if parents no longer had a disconnect from their children when it comes to spiritual things, but tried to teach them the things of the Lord. Again, it's what the Lord expects of us. My parents, they didn't put the love of God in my heart. Don't misunderstand me today. They didn't make me love the Lord. We can't love Him unless He first loved us. We know that. But my parents, seeing that love that I had for the Lord, they helped cultivate that love. They helped grow that love that I might learn more and more about the Lord. That's what parents ought to do. Again, you say, I have children that are up in years and I don't have that opportunity anymore. Still encourage them along life's way that they might be faithful to the service of the Lord. And so, again, that's something that the Lord has designed, not only in the home, He's designed it in the ministry, that the message of the Lord would pass from generation to generation. He's designed it in the church, that we might walk about Zion and tell the towers thereof and mark ye well her bulwarks, that we might tell it to the generation following. The Lord has designed it this way. And I'm sometimes discouraged when I travel across the country and I notice something that's not just here in Indiana but elsewhere. There are missing generations in the church. Have you ever noticed that? There are missing generations. I look at people my age, where are all the people my age? Where's that generation? There's missing generations in the church. That ought not to be the case. The Lord didn't design it that way. He wants parents to diligently be determined, be ready, be eager to teach their children so that they may teach their children and their children's children. That's what the Lord has designed. But children aren't the only ones that need teaching. If you look to Acts chapter 18, we'll see another thing that we are to be diligent in. Acts chapter 18 this morning. In verse 24, we need to be diligent in teaching others also. Acts chapter 18 and 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake, and notice this, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And so we ought to be concerned about not only teaching our children, but we ought to be concerned about teaching others also. Just as Apollos did here, Jude wrote in the third verse of his epistle that he gave all diligence, notice this, gave all diligence to write unto them about the common salvation. And so we ought to be diligent in teaching others. In fact, Peter said that we're to be ready. Remember what diligence means. Part of it means to be ready. Peter said that we're to be ready always to give an answer to any man that asks of the reason of the hope that lies within us. And so we ought to be going about trying to diligently teach others. I'm not talking about canvassing the neighborhoods. I'm not talking about going door to door or sending out missionaries. Although, let me say, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. In fact, the scripture says that a wise man is one that wins souls. Not winning them for eternity, but winning them to the truth of Christ. Solomon says, a wise man wins souls. I look at that sometimes and I think, how many souls have I won? There's a sense in which we are to win souls for the truth of Christ. And so we ought to be diligent in going about that business and in teaching others. Of course, the ministry is principally concerned with that, but we all should diligently strive to speak to others, to teach them a little bit, to invite them to church. Some might look at you and say, well, you're crazy. I'm not going to drive an hour to church. That's absolutely crazy. There's one 5 minutes down the road. You know what? You might get that response from time to time. But I'm telling you, from my own experience, those members that I first thought would not be interested have become the most faithful members of the Primitive Baptist. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't know how a person will respond until you talk to them. You don't know how they'll respond until you ask them to come. And so we need to be diligent in talking and teaching others as well. Being able to teach is part of growing spiritually. If you cannot teach, then you're not growing spiritually. Remember when Paul wrote to the Hebrews and he said that there was a time that they ought to have been teachers. There was a time that they ought to have grown up, but then they had need that one teach them again. Being able to teach and diligently teach others is part of growing spiritually. And we need to be principally concerned with growing spiritually. Notice what Peter says. I know I'm giving you a lot of references today, but turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Peter says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, notice this. Verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence." It sounds like Peter is concerned with the spiritual growth of people. It sounds like Peter desires that the Christians grow up, that they learn more and more about the Lord. And again, if we're not learning more and more, if we're not diligent, determined, and ready to grow, then we can't be diligent in teaching others. The two go hand in hand. You must first grow, and then when you have been diligent in your growth, then you're diligent in teaching others. But he goes on in verse 10. Notice this. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." He's talking about growing in our assurances, giving diligence that we would have assurances that we are a child of God. He's not talking about making our election and calling more sure to God. Let me tell you, dear friends, if God has chosen you from before the foundation of the world and He's called you in this life sometime between conception and death and brought you from a place of spiritual death to spiritual life, if God has done that, it cannot be more sure. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No events in your life, none of Satan's angels nor the host of them combined could separate you from the love of God. In fact, let me say this morning that God Himself cannot remove you from that position. Did you know that? Think about that. God Himself, the power of God, could not take you from being a child of God to being not a child of God. Because our Lord is a thrice holy God. He is a righteous God. He's already accepted the payment for your sin by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And no matter what happens in your life, come what may, He cannot deny Himself. That's what Paul says. He says God cannot deny Himself. If He's brought all these things to pass, then He cannot turn His back on Himself and the payment that He's already accepted for your sin debt. And so we need to rest assured in that today, that if we are made a child of God and we have been in the mind of God since from before the foundation of the world, that will never change. So when he says make your calling and an election sure, he's not talking about making it sure to God. He's talking about making it sure to yourself. So that when you have those moments in life, when you look at what's going on perhaps and you say, "I don't know how the Lord could love me. I don't know why He would choose me. I don't think I'm a child of God." You can then come from that situation and say, No, dear friends, I know that the Lord loves me. When Satan comes to you and says, "God doesn't love you. God doesn't care anything about you. You should be so strong. You should be so diligent in growing in your assurance," that when Satan tries that tactic, you can say, "No, I'm a child of the Most High King. He loves me." And you can have peace in your mind and your heart. Growing in assurances that you're a child of the King, making your calling and election sure. That's what Peter has under consideration. And he says that if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Notice that. You shall never fall. Again, that's not falling eternally, but that has to do with falling temporarily. Falling from our own steadfastness. Winding up in a position to where we're no longer bringing glory to God. Where we're no longer faithful in His service and bringing glory to Him through that regard. And so you see how some of these connect each other, that there's a diligence in growth that must be had before there can be diligence in teaching. There must be diligence in assurances before there can be diligence in service. Do you see how they're all connected each other? But there are so many things that the Lord would have us to be diligent in. Again, He hasn't called us to a life of just going by, just getting by, just being lackadaisical. He's called us to a life of diligence. He expects, again, it's not something that's just good if you can attain it. It is good, but He expects there to be diligence on your part, that you would be eager and ready and determined to have a desire and a craving to be diligent in all these things we mentioned, guarding your heart and seeking God, listening and obeying Him, hearkening to Him, teaching others in your assurances, and then being diligent in service. I hope that this has been some encouragement to you. It's encouraged me a little bit as I've tried to study it out. But I hope that you'll pray for me as I pray for you, and that we'll grow together, we'll become more and more diligent together as the days come. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Let's stand and sing a song this morning.